Boxing Day is, I guess it's probably my favorite, everyone has their favorites. The gift that we have and the friendship of the saints is something that I didn't understand for many, many years until actually I had this encounter with St. Kateri, I guess you could say, and probably shared some of it before. But it really opened my eyes to the fact that the saints are, they want friendship with us. And I guess I just never thought about it like that. You know, when I was younger, I just thought about saints as being really holy people who would kind of be mildly disgusted by me most of the time. And then kind of be like, the cool kids over there would be like, that guy just doesn't get it. He's just not on our level. You know, like they're like the SEAL Team 6 of the Christian life, and I'm like this JROTC, wet behind the ears kid who's like a freshman in college. And kind of a bumbling fool, maybe. And kind of, you know, it was all kind of subconscious. I never realized that's what I was thinking. And yes, slowly but surely that changed. And it's a dumb idea that the saints would think that they're cooler than anyone or better than everyone because they're perfected in love. So of course they're going to love you. Of course they're not going to judge you. Of course they're going to be understanding of your failures or your weaknesses. Of course they're going to desire friendship with you because what they do now is intercede for us. They've run the race. They've spent their time on the court or on the field or in the fray, and now they're done. And they're perfected in love and they are in heaven. There's only really one thing that they still don't have, if you will, and that's our company. Us, we, joining their company. Now, you only... One of the things about this day that's really important to remember is that each and every one of us are called to be saints. And I remind you that the only people in heaven are saints. Leading some Catholics to be terrified because they think that that means you have to be canonized as a saint, like publicly recognized by some pope to have been a saint. No, that's not true. Thank God. There wouldn't be very many people in heaven. You'd have to be famous just to get noticed. There are so many more saints than who we canonize, but those are canonized for a reason. And they're kind of like light posts along the way. They're there. Their lives are held up as models of heroic virtue so that we can imitate them and so that we can ask for their prayers, so that we can learn from them, so that we can join them. And the greatest scripture in this regard is Hebrews chapter 11. Every year on this day, I tell everybody, read Hebrews chapter 11 and read it through the first few verses of chapter 12. Because at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 talks about all these holy men and women who have gone before us in faith. And then the beginning of Hebrews 12 says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, let us press on, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. The cloud of witnesses who watches us now are all those people in Hebrews 11. It goes back through all of these Old Testament heroes. And of course, a lot of people you've never heard of. The holiest person in heaven, the holiest human person, Jesus technically is a human being, but not a human person. So the holiest human person in heaven is, of course, Mary. And I suppose probably St. Joseph. And then there's probably a whole bunch of people you've never heard of. You've never heard of these people. But the point is that whether you're famous for being holy or not, whether the church knows that your life is a model of extraordinary virtue, each and every one of us need to be saints to get into heaven. And this is why Jesus says that it's difficult and it's challenging and we need to strive for. But he also tells us that his grace is sufficient. His love for us is the deciding factor. And he gives us, again, he gives us these holy men and women to be like lampposts along the way, to show us how to live and which way to go. I would say this, though. In a sense, all saints, taken one way, is not very helpful. Like, in one sense, it's really helpful because we know we have all these holy men and women who are praying for us, who are cheering us on, who want nothing more for you than to be where they are. That's all they really don't have yet. And then, in another sense, it's not very helpful because, like, okay, that's a lot of saints. Like I said, you don't even know who a lot of them are. So how are you going to imitate? Who knows how many canonized saints there are? There's so many. How are you going to imitate all those people? You don't even know all their names. You could spend your whole life studying saints and you probably wouldn't know all the names. This is why I think there are some saints that kind of choose us or that the Lord assigns to us. And I've experienced this in my life. And that is so that we will, I guess, let a lamppost along the way. Their prayers and their friendship. One of those who inspired my vocation is St. Damian of Molokai, who was the priest to the leper colony in Hawaii. Another one, though, is St. Kateri Tekakwitha. She, both of them chose me. I didn't decide, oh yeah, I'd love to learn about this person. Just so happened, it was kind of weird. Somebody gave me this bookmark right before I went on a retreat. I went on a 5-day silent retreat like I do every year. Gave me this bookmark, and I had an occasion to ask for St. Kateri's intercession just, you know, a day or two before I left for my retreat. I was in a difficult spot, and I was reading my Bible, and I saw this bookmark, and it just had a picture of St. Kateri on it. And she just had this, whoever the artist was, they just painted her to look like she loves you so much. I was like, huh, that's nice. A saint who loved me instead of judged me. And then I realized, wait, my thinking might be wrong. They probably all love us, don't they? And then I just said, pray for me. Please pray for me. And what's amazing is, as soon as I said that, the situation was resolved. So I was like, who is this girl? What's up with this? So I had this experience as I was going on this retreat several times where it felt like she was just like either in the passenger seat as I was going to the retreat or as I was walking through the woods. It sounds weird, but we're Catholic, so it's okay. Walking through the woods, it had a lot of trails in the woods. I almost thought, like, if I look to the right, I'm going to see her just like through the trees somewhere. Which that didn't happen. So I didn't have any vision or anything. But I did have this sense to take a certain turn, and like there was a crossroads. She wanted me to turn a certain way, go a certain way. And I thought that was kind of stupid, but there's no harm in it, just going through the woods. I mean, I don't really have anywhere to be for 5 days. It's not a retreat. So, and as I'm walking the way that I thought she wanted me to go, in the middle of the path, the only place where the sun is breaking through the trees, shining on the path, I find this turkey feather, which I didn't know what it was, so I had to look it up. So I took it back to my hermitage. And I was like, oh, this is a turkey feather? Why do I think St. Kateri wants me to have a turkey feather? So I asked her about it. I was like, I'm probably crazy, but I think you want me to have this, and I'm not sure why. And I ran out of coffee the next day, which is a reason to leave the retreat and go back to civilization, if there ever was one. And so I went and find coffee, and I go to the cash register. The cashier in your register has this giant turkey feather sticking in the register. So I knew immediately, I am supposed to talk to this woman. So I tried some chit-chat, but nothing really happened. And I was like, well, I don't really know. I mean, this wasn't really obvious. And I'm walking out the door, I'm walking through the parking lot, and the Holy Spirit says, ask her the question, which means I have to ask her if she knows Jesus. That's my deal with God. If I don't know what to ask, and I know I'm supposed to talk to somebody, I have to say that to somebody who I don't even know. I should cut better deals with God. So I went back. This time, I was there. I'll buy, I don't know. I need some bug spray, so I got some bug spray. Go back to the cash register, talk to her again. I'm like, okay, let's see if we can maybe not start right with, do you know Jesus? And there's people behind you waiting in line as well. Are you? Oh, no, that is what I started with. Do you know Jesus? I don't even remember what she said. She's like, 10:52, stone face. Like, she was not happy with me. Probably the people behind me were like, oh my gosh. And I was like, are you Catholic? She's like, stone face. I was like, oh my gosh, if it looks good, yeah, I would be beaten to death right here in front of everybody. And I was like, this is the best part. Do you know who St. Kateri Tekakwitha is? She looked up at me. No. And I was like, this is going badly. But I had already gone all the way home, offered Mass for her, tried to ignore it, but I still felt guilty, Catholic guilt. So I had come all the way back, so I was like, no, I'm not making a third trip. I'm totally making a fool of myself, whatever it takes to obey the Lord. And so I asked her, I offered her the bookmark, which I had at the very last second had the four thoughts in brain, which today would be super illegal and need someone out there. It's COVID. I was like, can I offer you this? I think she wants to pray for you. And you know what? Her eyes hit the image, just this picture of St. Kateri with the bookmark. And her face totally softened, totally changed immediately. She said, oh, that would be really nice. I could really use some prayers. And you know, I don't have any clue if this picture probably doesn't look anything like St. Kateri. Who knows? Nobody knows. But, you know, I think what was disarming was perhaps through the Holy Spirit, and perhaps through the work of this artist, this woman, like I did, she realized, oh, this girl, this woman, whoever she is, she loves me. And she wants to pray for me. She's like a saint up in heaven or whatever, but she cares about me. And that was the beginning of something going on in this woman's life. Where there was a stony, hard exterior, all of a sudden, she had an open heart, and her heart and her face and her countenance and everything softened. And the thing is, it's all through the Holy Spirit, it's all through Jesus. He's the mediator of all of our prayers. And but the saints and their friendship with us and their desire for us to be in union with them. Yeah, they love us. And there will be saints who will, I think, want to reach out into your life. And it might not be like somebody gives you a bookmark. The reason St. Damien really appealed to me was I just heard his story and I thought, it just, I don't know, just something really resonated. I'm convinced though that we do sometimes have to, in a sense, take a first step or put ourselves in a position to be ambushed by a saint. What I mean by that is to pick up a Life of the Saints book, to learn a little bit about them. But when one of them catches your eye or your heart or something happens, something resonates with you, don't just pass that by. Don't just let, oh, I want to keep going. Because if I just had kept going, this woman, what, like, with the turkey feathers and cash register, I don't know, would she have known Jesus' love for her in a personal way? I don't know. Would I have really received all the grace that I've received through knowing that this big sister, St. Kateri, is praying for me? No, I wouldn't. But I'm convinced that, and it wasn't for a few months that I got a book, a biography. I'm convinced that we should be reading Lives of the Saints. And I don't mean like the quick little paragraph, just a quick little paragraph. You know, there's like, you get a book, Lives of the Saints, there's one for every day. It's a page long. Those are great, but those are just like teasers. We actually, I think, there's a saint who's, one time somebody told me they thought this saint was stalking me. Or, like I said, when something resonates, I think we should go out, buy find a good biography, which often there are, and read it, and really like it. Read it, 200, 400, whatever page you book, really learning about this saint. Especially if this is someone who has perhaps showed up in your life at a couple of different points. Sometimes it's a confirmation saint. Sometimes it's your namesake. Sometimes different things happen. Neither Kateri nor Damien are my confirmation saint. They weren't saints when I was confirmed. They're new kids on the block as far as canonization goes. But they are given to us by God. Both all of them, and also in particular, some of them who God wants you to know. They know you already. They're praying for you already. But we need to know them. We need to get to know them. Because the more I go into, who's this Saint Kateri? The Lord is doing something in my heart as I was learning about her. The more Saint Damien, obviously that's why I'm a priest. Lord was doing something in my heart as I learn more about him. They are these lampposts to guide our way toward heaven. Both in the way that they lived on earth, but also in the way that they pray for us, intercede for us, and pursue us in friendship. And that's what friends do, is friends help friends get to heaven. That's what friendship is based on. It's pretty That's the most simple goal of any real friendship. There's a lot of other things that go into it, but that's kind of the first thing. So when one of those saints catches your eye or something resonates, don't just walk past it. Go deeper. Go deeper, because those friends, the best friends you can have, will help you.